اللهم صل على محمد الجود والكرم اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعليه الفضل والبر اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعليه وصحبه وبارك وسلم أما بعد
The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before I share with you one of his sayings, I request you brothers, colleagues, that please recite Durood Sharif.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala
The Master of the True World, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in his blessed hadith, he has stated that keep on reflecting and analyzing on yourself prior to your accounts taking place. In other words, you should keep on checking yourself, analyzing yourself, reflecting on your situation prior to this, that death arrives, and then in the hereafter, your hisab, your accounts will take place. So here, whilst we're living in this dunya, in this world, if an individual, if the human being, alongside regularly keeps on thinking about himself, keeps on reflecting, self-reflection, am I doing a good action? Or have I got more bad actions or sins? What mistakes have I made? What errors have I carried out? What mistakes should I not have implemented? So this situation, this thinking, this ongoing concern will be very beneficial in the hereafter. Because when the human being thinks this, then on the next step Allah Ta'ala helps him, assists him. Allah likes it that my servant, in this human being, he has developed a fikr, a concern that I should think, I should ponder over my situation, am I capable, I have to travel further, I have to be presented in front of Allah. In this journey, what do I have to my name? Profit and loss. What's positive, what's negative? Keep on checking your accounts, your sheet. And this is called muhasaba, reflection and analysis. When an individual gets used to this and it increases in getting used to this, and then he starts to become aware and he accepts his sins, then he thinks that how can I now get rid of these sins? How can I release myself from these sins? But when a human being, with regards to concern and fikr and thinking, when he loses that, when he doesn't reflect, then he gets lost in this world around us. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the form of adab, punishment, sends to him a situation of concern, worry about dunya. He stays occupied and buried. Always he's worried and concerned about dunya, material things, every second. Every hour he's running after dunya, profit of the dunya, loss of the dunya, and in front of him there's no other thought process. Despite the fact that he considers himself to be pious and righteous, but he's the most stupid and foolish person from everyone. Because when the eyes close, and when Allah Ta'ala grabs somebody, and he passes away, then he realizes that what I used to be worried about every day in this world was a waste of time. The real concern I should have done for that place where Allah Ta'ala has delivered me to the hereafter. I should have been preparing for that. So these gatherings where Allah's dhikr takes place, Allah's remembrance takes place, where there's fikr, concern, and people sit together, join together, assembling together, and they reflect, think about each other. Allah really loves such a gathering, like this one. In these majalis gatherings, we should discuss also these points, these topics, so that we keep thinking about ourselves, that what have I done in my life up to now? And the way to do muhasabah, to reflect, self-analysis, the best way to do self-analysis, which our pious predecessors have explained to us, is when it's the night time and you're on your bed. When a person, at the night time, when he retires to sleep, before when he goes on his bed, so before laying down on the bed, because that individual is going towards death at that time, in a short while he's going to get the injection of sleep and he'll disappear, and his ruh, his soul, will be extracted, and that's how death takes place. Just like when we sleep every night on the bed, it's a short form of death. So just going to, before going to sleep, think that death is coming right now, because I'm going to go to sleep. So what I should think now is that today, during the day, what have I done today? Obviously we are human beings, we're not angels. Of course we commit mistakes and we make mistakes, and there's deficiency in our lives, and in some worship there's something lacking, or fard, something we rejected or left out, some compulsory deed we left out, or we were lazy in something else. So the best time to think is that time, before sleeping. Make this a habit. It's a brilliant habit if you can make this habit in your life, but we should do. And it's a big time of laziness when a person goes to sleep. He's tired, he's worked all day, he goes straight to bed, and it's a warm bed, mashallah. Nowadays we have people who have electric blankets. And he says, I want to go to sleep, a nice, hot, warm mattress, luxurious beds. So when do we get the chance to even think? But no. We need to do muraqabah inside. Don't sit. You're sitting and you're thinking. You sit down, you set yourself, before you lie down, read the surah du'as of sleeping, the du'as of sleeping, then sit there, put your hand on your head and think, what have I done all day long from the morning till now? I did this in my life today, I did this. And think more about the negatives, that what were my mistakes today. Don't think I'm pious, I'm righteous, I did this much worship, this much tasbih. No, think more negative. What are the mistakes that did I make today? Don't keep thinking about positive and your goods. If you did wrong or made mistakes, what mistakes did I make today? Just think about them, reflect, ponder, and then think, I'm about to die. What do I do now? I've made mistakes. And definitely he's dying, that person. It's not that he's saying it just for the sake of it. He is dying. Don't we recite this dua when we go to sleep? Allahumma bismika amutu wa hiya Allah. We are going, when we go to sleep, we say this, Allah, that we are going to sleep. It's a form of death. So what is the reality is that the moment my ruh is still inside, Allah's promise that as long as the angel of death doesn't come to me, then if you ask me for forgiveness, I'll forgive all of your previous sins and wrong actions. The best time to do this daily, if you do this analysis and you are making your accounts positive, sit down before you sleep on your bed and you say, okay, today my day passed like this. Allah, can't do anything now, I'm about to sleep, pass away. Allah, please forgive me. Inshallah, with your power, with your ability you've given to me, Allah, with your permission, if you give me the next day to me, then do the dua. It's a great dua. It's a complete dua. Prior to sleep, that person asks, Allah, I'm about to pass away, I'm about to die, with your name, in your name. And if I wake up, then I'll wake up with your permission and in your name. And if during my sleep you don't give my ruh back to me, subhanAllah, I'm telling you this dua, this is in Arabic, you can recite this, Allah, if you don't return my ruh, my soul, back to me while I'm sleeping, then Allah, please favor me, Allah, and please forgive me, Allah. And if Allah, you send me back to life after sleeping, then Allah, I'll make a request to you, O Allah, Ta'ala, Allah Most High, then please include me amongst those people who are your beloved servants, make me like them. And your karam, your generosity and your rewards and mercy comes on them. What a beautiful dua. And when should we recite this dua? When? Whilst you're going to sleep, you're doing analysis. When you feel drowsy, want to go sleep, then you do the muhasabah. So straightforward the situation. Tell me, after this, is there any worry about dying after that? What a beautiful preparation and solution the Holy Prophet ﷺ has given to us. What great sunnahs of the Master of the Truth. We like animals, we don't know nothing, no giving, no taking. Just got a straight jump on the mattress. Oh, I've got to go work tomorrow morning. Yar, oh, phone that person, you've got the headphones in your, and you're in the bed. Okay, yar, we'll be meeting tomorrow, we'll meet tomorrow. You don't even know if the morning's going to come the next day, and you're confident fully that I'm going to do this tomorrow. Okay, yar, let's do this tomorrow. Okay, and they've got music on in the headphones, and few swear words, and then you go to sleep, the eyes close, and that's one way of sleeping, and this is the other way of sleeping that I just described. So these are the ways of the sunnah. The Holy Prophet ﷺ, he said, Jahannam cannot come to that mu'min. If he treads footsteps in the life carefully, this is muhasabah. Careful, cautious. There's mud here, there's thorns here, there's nettles here, there's problems here, and he cautiously treads his way and path during the life. So all the night that you sleep, all the problems you are during the day, the issues, the ups and downs, when you go on the mattress, it'll take you 3 minutes. Just remember this dua that I've just explained to you. Listen to the cassette, what do we have? The file. Go on the site, listen to the file, play the file again. Listen to this bayan. Definitely memorize this dua that I've just explained to you. If you don't know Arabic, then learn it in English. Recite it in English. Farsi, Persian, or Pashto, or Gujarati. Allah Ta'ala knows all the languages. What do? I don't know Arabic, how can I learn this dua? Oh, I don't know Arabic, I can't memorize it. Don't worry about it. Whatever language is strong for you, recite the dua in that language. And then more with the depths of the heart, you'll recite it. If it's your language, because you'll understand the meaning. Then with the depths of the heart, if you say in Gujarati, oh Allah, che che che, when you keep saying in front of Allah, che che, mashallah, you'll achieve. You'll achieve. So your mother language, mother tongue, when you speak to Allah Ta'ala in that language, it's very beloved discussion that takes place at that time. Not this, that the person, if you don't know Arabic, what can you do? What can you do? Can't help it. So mashallah, if you know Urdu or other languages, when you recite this dua, then do muhasabah. The whole day you'll analyze what you've done and not done. When Allah Ta'ala wakes you up in the morning, then you'll recite the dua, Allah, this day you're giving to me now, the new lease of life. Allah, please include me amongst those people who you bestow and grant your favors, your bounties, your treasures. Inshallah, when you've done that dua, then the next day, Allah Ta'ala will include you amongst such people and give you the company of good people. And then Allah will introduce you to good people, whether your business, work, employment. People will come to you for some reason, will be pious, good people. And they'll say salam to you themselves. They'll approach you themselves and the doors will open up for you. Automatically you'll say, yaar, he's a good person. Oh, I've met good people today. And good people will come into your destiny, your life, because you did dua and Allah accepts the duas. So practically they will come to your life, the good people, the righteous people. You ask that dua to Allah while you are sleeping on the bed, on the mattress. Anyhow, this was just something that came in my mind while I was speaking. So we should reflect and analyze. So will we analyze myself and reflect? Very simple habit. Will we do this, inshallah? Inshallah. Don't forget, okay? But shaitan makes us forget this. Always remember this. If you forget, lie down, then, oh, spring back up onto the bed. Oh, what's happened here? I didn't do my analysis today. Never do this, that you lie down and you forget the dua, and then you say, I'll do it tomorrow. No, just get up then. Just sit up on your mattress. Oh, I've got to do this action, yaar. Otherwise, oh, I could be finished. So inshallah, your sleep won't go. Your sleep is there anyway, it will come. Allah will give you the sleepy feeling after that. So the human being, this is muhasabah, self-reflection, analysis, and that we should weigh up that we are in the dunya, in this world. Allah has given us a target while we're living in this world. He's given us a prime target. We're not sitting here for nothing in this world. Allah sent us from the heavens, from Jannah. He's given us food, given us water, bread, chapati, chickens and eggs. Allah's given us honey and all the other delicacies. You think Allah's doing this for nothing? You think you're on earth for nothing? All the people that Allah Ta'ala has given, the creatures, the chickens laying eggs every day, warm eggs are being laid. Imagine meat, how much we eat meat. I've never seen until today that the sheep have gone on strike or the goats have gone on strike. Oh, has there ever been a strike from the animals? Has the chicken ever gone on strike? That's it, I'm not going to give any more eggs. All the chickens get together, we're not going to lay any more eggs from tomorrow. Have they ever said that? Every animal creature, have you ever heard the news that the doctors have gone on strike? You hear this news, nurses on strike, hospital shut down, this man's done this, that man did that. But never will you hear the honeybee, has they ever gone on strike? And said, I'm not going to give any more honey. Close the pots and the jars. Has he ever said that? Reason was Allah has given a duty to the animals, to the creatures. Who's given the task to them? Who created the honeybee? Allah said, this is your job. Go, my human beings, give them honey. And in the honey, a shifa, cure as well, it will come out from inside you, honeybee. Allah's made it so transparent. In the honeybee, there's a plant, like a manufacturing plant is running inside the honeybee. Yes, and those who know, who sell honey, mashallah, they know. Mashallah, sometimes they give me honey as well to eat. So what is this? That Allah's put a manufacturing, like a factory inside each and every bee that makes honey. What does the bee do? The honeybee? Allah says, the food you'll get, the food of honeybee, you'll get it from a flower, from nowhere else. There's so many other flies, wasps, they say here and there. But what's the job of the honeybee? Goes to a certain flower, goes to there, and already the flower's waiting. I'm waiting for this honeybee to come and take advantage of me. Inside that flower, Allah's put such an injection, and the honeybee and all other creatures, they fetch that. Imagine Allah's creation, nature. We say, where's Allah? Where's Allah? One wasp bee will show you where's Allah if you're really sincere. Yes, look around us, we big food meals, and that doesn't come in their akal, their brains, that where's this food come from? Now, we don't believe in Allah. Oh, we're atheists, we're disbelievers. Yeah, they say this confidently. But the honeybee goes and it sucks the liquid, and inside there's a factory running, and beautiful fragrant honey comes out of the honey, out of the bee, which is full cured. As if you're cough, flu or influenza, stomach pain, the honey helps you to give you the cure. Hot climate, cold climate, where does it come from? Is there a factory? Oh, in America, massive plants running, factory, and these things are coming out. No, it's a small bee that's doing the work that Allah Ta'ala gave to it. MashaAllah, say SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. Small honeybee. Yes, and is giving the benefit to all of the people in the dunya. Why is this happening? Why is it doing that work? Akal says it's Allah's hukam, instructions that's making all of this happen. This is all Allah's instructions, hukam, akams, that all the animals and creatures are endlessly carrying out their duties and tasks without any hesitation. Even the donkey, what does the donkey do? It does its work. Look at the fish in the sea, in the oceans. A person goes there on his fishing boat. Today, oh, we're going to have salmon. Oh, we're going to have this specimen or this species. Is your father got a factory that is making the fish, that you're eating fish walking around in the dunya? Where's the fish come from? Why have you given these names to these fish? Why is that every fish is different to another species? You have snapper, you'll have a different enjoyment. Yeah, have you ever eaten snapper? Fish? Look at all the different types of fish. Go to the fishmongers and stand there and look. All different species, and everyone's got a different taste and a different liking to the fish. So this 6 foot tall human being that Allah Ta'ala has manufactured and made, that all the makhluk and the creatures are obeying Allah's order to serve us. You can take the goat and sacrifice, eat the meat and the bones, and it doesn't say anything. It just lays down quietly. Such a big cow, it lays down and it says, I've made for you, O servant of Allah, you can slaughter me, make kebab, shami kebab, meat. But has the human being ever thought, when he does reflection, Allah says, that Allah's given me animals, that 50, 60 years I'm eating cows and my machine, inside me my teeth have chewed and chewed and they're still the same. And even Allah's made dentist, go to the dentist and he'll help you and set your teeth nicely. So this is all Allah's great achievements, not our achievements. And this human being, Allah Ta'ala, to serve the human being, Allah's given us everything in the world. But what is our duty then? This is where we fall down and forget. We say, oh, we're here for enjoyment. Oh, Allah's made us to just to eat, drink, be merry, do what you want, enjoy life, and do what you want, eat, drink, go sleep, get married, have kids, and that's it. That's what we're here for. Is this not our objective, my friends? This is not our purpose of life. Allah Ta'ala has created us. Allah sent us to this world with a job. Unless you've got a job in this world. So at least think about the job Allah has given to us, the employment Allah has given to us. Allah says, your employment that I've given to you in this world, and you have to come back to me, Allah says, after you live in this world, to return to me. Where? Just from where you came, you will come back there, Allah says. Where you've gone to is a dirty place, the earth, and you are in Jannah, and you will come back to Jannah, Allah says, to paradise, the clean place, pure place. So just one duty Allah has given to us. What's our job? Do you understand what's our employment? That we need to, where are we going to go back to? Where are we going to return to? Don't say another name now. To Jannah, paradise. That's where we have to go back to, from where we came. We have to go back to paradise. So Allah Ta'ala says that for going to paradise here on planet earth while you're living, there'll be hurdles and obstructions in your life. You know, like when you have a race, you know when there's a race, a sprint, the 110 meter hurdles, and you have the barriers, and he runs, then the hurdle comes, then he jumps over it, then he runs, then he jumps over the hurdles. You've seen it in gymnastics, you have sprint races, even horses, they have hurdles. Yeah? So Allah Ta'ala says that you will have to come back to me, but remember, while you're living in the world, I've sent you to the world, Allah says. You're living on planet earth, and it's not hard, but coming back, success will be hard. Just like when a man climbs the mountain, it's difficult. Coming back down, easy. It's hard to climb the mountain. So brothers, colleagues, Allah says, I've sent you to the world. You have to return to me. There'll be challenges on the way. There'll be hurdles, obstructions on the journey. Save yourself. Allah says, those barriers, those hurdles, break them down while you're living. If you do not break down those obstacles and barriers, and you get stuck, then your path will change. You will deviate off the track, and that will be another path. And that won't be the path to paradise, to Jannah, because you will go off the side path. You know, like when a person forgets the way on the motorway, then he gets lost, and he goes wrong. He deviates off his route. It's dangerous. That would be towards Jahannam, hell, fire. Totally the opposite to Jannah, to paradise. Hell, fire. So now what is our concern and worry about this point? Let's think about it. What do we need to think? What do we need to contemplate? Until today we haven't thought about this. That we have to go back to Allah to go into paradise. What's the barrier and the hurdle in front of me right now while I'm living in this world that's stopping me and preventing me get back to Allah in paradise? So that when we learn about those hurdles, we can save ourselves and we can go into paradise. Yes, and then the path will come, the proper path will come, and the wrong path we will discard it. So this is the thought process we need to develop. This is our duty. This is our job. This is our employment in the world. Just think this all the time. That we are here, safely we need to get back to paradise, and the hurdles, the barriers on the way in this journey, what are those barriers? What is the definition of those barriers? If we don't know about the barriers and the hurdles, how will we eliminate them? How will we jump over them? My brothers, to go into paradise, the biggest hurdle and obstruction is what? Do you know? This is our job. Our main duty is to learn, identify these hurdles, to cross them. Think about these all day long. What is it that's stopping me from paradise? Or what is stopping me from paradise? And it won't let me go to paradise. Rather, it will make me break down and fall down in front of the hurdle and take me onto the wrong path. What is that hurdle? What is that obstruction? That is sins. Guna, committing the sins, practicing the sins. A sinful life is full of the hurdles and barriers that doesn't let us get to paradise. It won't let us arrive to paradise. The most dangerous thing for a human being in this world is committing the sin. Do you understand what I'm saying? Sin, when a person commits the sins, it will never let him get to paradise. Any sinful person cannot go to paradise. The person will go to paradise, first condition number one, is that not even a particle's weight of sin is on his body. Jannah is a pure place, clean, and only clean people go to paradise. This is the big test for us in this world. And this world we're living in, all four sides around us, surrounding us, is sin upon sin upon sin around us. This is a reality. Let's not shy away from this. Let's not try to pretend this is our job. Just like all the creatures Allah made, they're doing their job. Are we fulfilling our task and duty? That this hurdle and barrier of sin, are we breaking it down? The barrier of sin, have we ever thought about this? Never can it be. Remember this point. The Quran declares this openly. The sinful person will not go to paradise. Jannah is pure for the pure people. So Allah has told us this in advance. Because this world is the place that makes us forget. It rejects, makes us reject. Allah says, I'll keep on sending you reminders while you're living in the forgetful world. The Anbiya alayhi salam kept on coming. The prophets, may Allah's mercy be on them, kept on coming. The kitabs were revealed. The Quran, Alif Lam Mim until Nas. Read it. Allah has given us this message from Alif Lam Mim to Surah Nas. Read the whole Quran. Then Allah gives us the events, previous nations, those who forgot, what was their consequence? Those people who forget the way, the path, how did they get deviated? What was their consequence? And how are their punishments in the world? And what are their punishments then hereafter? So these are the messages Allah has given. Don't you, O Muslimin, the one who's reading the Quran, Just like a person who's reading Quran, while he's reading the lines, he must get the message while he's reading, because the Quran should come into him when he reads the Quran. What is the Quran telling the person when he reads Quran? Anyone who reads any page of the Quran, woman, man, sister, brother, whenever you read the Quran, what is the Quran telling you when you read the Quran? The Quran is speaking to you. The Quran is delivering the message to you. It's telling you that this is your life. And I'm telling you right now the message the Quran says. And we bypass that message of the Quran while we're reading it. We're reading the lines and we keep turning the pages. Turn it. Allah says, I didn't give you the Quran for this reason. Allah said, I gave you the Quran as a reminder. The prophets came. With the prophets and the messages came the kitabs, the books. Allah says, they'll be given to you. You'll be made to read them, or you will read them. When they depart from the world, the prophets, the messengers, still the books will be in the world. And their ummah, we were given the incomparable kitab, the Quran. Allah said, the Quran, there's nothing that before or after that can compare to the Quran. The gift to this ummah. What a great, great present Allah gave to us. That Allah says that maybe there's any, is there any language in the world that there's no translation of the Quran in? Is there any language? Everywhere you go in the world, any country, north, south, east, west, you'll get the Quran. And translated in all languages. Now, why? Because Allah wanted to deliver the message, His message. The Quran wants to give the message to the individual. And every human being, doesn't matter what language you speak or read, that Quran, the language will arrive to that person. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. I speak Urdu. And Quran, what's the connection with Urdu? The Quran was revealed in Arabic. It's in Arabistan. But I speak Urdu. I'm aware of Urdu. But look, in Urdu, mashallah, how the Quran is being translated. Ulama, scholars, fuqaha, jurists in proper, in-depth Urdu explanation, commentary of Quran, and all types of dialects. And then in Arabic and other languages and dialects. So what we learn is Allah has given the message to every human being in the world. If it was just about reading, then Allah would not allow the translation to take place. Say Subhanallah. Do you understand what I'm saying up to now? So now the Quran we need to read in a way that from every page absorb the message. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allah, what is the message you're giving in your Quran today? Don't do this action. And the great achievement is that every human being who the Quran wants to rectify, the Quran will give you a live message while you're reading. If you're a liar, then it will talk to you about speaking honestly. If you have defects and sins, the Quran will tell you about your defects and sins. And it will give you examples in the past about the defects you've got. No? Isn't this the case? And if you have a fikr concern, you have a problem, you can't solve it in the world, I'm saying any problem, X, Y, Z, you have problems inside, you have evil temptations, problems. When you read the Quran will give you the message and will give you the solution to your problems. Life. Yes, Allah says, the Quran says itself, that I'm very easy if you understand me. Just understand me, the Quran says. Just understand me. And who does the Quran help? The Quran runs with the intentions of that human being who's reading it. The Quran runs with his intention. If he's got an intention, opens the Quran, I want to read 15 pages, 2 juz, 2 chapters. Okay, read it and get up. But what benefit have you got? But if he says, no, today I've got a problem, I need the solution. Allah Ta'ala, in those 3 lines he reads, is enough for him. Allah will give him the solution to his problem. In those 3 lines, if he reads 30 minutes, he thinks, he keeps on reading the 3 lines, Allah will give him the message, the solution to his problems. You can experience this live if you want. Experience this. Just 3 lines. If you have the pure intention. So our target is now that we need to go back to Allah, to paradise. And the sin in this world is the biggest barrier, hurdle that stopped us, will stop us getting to paradise. Do you understand what I'm saying? So we need to think about this life we're living. That how do I cure and get rid of these sins? Because if I keep on committing sins and the sins stay attached to me in my life, then I cannot go to paradise. And then what is the game after that? What's the game after that? Nafs, desires, very severe opposition to us. The nafs, the desires, has put another attack on this. The real thing, so now we now learn that the barrier is our sins, and the nafs gives us another tactic to make us deviate. The nafs tells us that go after worship, run after ibadah, say Subhanallah. The nafs destroys us in another way. Yaar, sins are too hard to leave, yaar. So what you should do is do ibadah. Read salah, go on umrah, do hajj, read nafl salah, pray tahajjud. And so the nafs injects that poison in our minds, that making us do lots of worship. the nafs makes us lazy of leaving the sins. So we say, it's okay, we'll do the sins in parallel, but we'll worship at the same time. Say Subhanallah. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when a person gets intoxicated and runs after kathir ibadah and lots of ibadah and worship, then he forgets his sins. He forgets his sinful life. And the nafs makes him happy and content. That lie doesn't make any difference. You can backbite, doesn't make any difference. You can be envious, doesn't make any difference. You can have pride inside you, doesn't make any difference. You have these sicknesses inside you, doesn't make any difference. Oh, you, so many barriers to Jannah. The nafs makes us think that we're doing ibadah, worshipping, alhamdulillah, so Allah will save you. False pretense. False message of the nafs. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, the Quran, Allah explained, 500 years this man did ibadah. 500 years a man did ibadah. Allah has mentioned this event in the Quran. But when the nafs attacked him, his desires, and sins came into his life, then 500 years of worship, it was buried, he lost it. Misl al-qalb, Allah says, like a dog, he passed away. The example of a dog. 500 years of worship. Shaitan, millions of people, he did millions of ibadat and worship, but who finished him off? What? His sins finished him off. His sins. Do you understand what I'm saying? So ibadah, worship on its own is a fantastic thing. We should do ibadah. Great action is ibadah, worship. But due to ibadah, worship, the human being, his real objective of life, which is to shun the sins, then the ibadah, worship makes us think we are forgiven, and then the person thinks less about his sins, which is his objective. He says, nah, it's okay. Oh, I'll leave this. Oh, let's go on Umrah. Yaar, let's go on Umrah. Oh, let me read this many nawafil. Let me do tasbih today. Let me do dhikr today. Let's do dhikr today so that my sins will be forgotten about. No, it won't happen. So yeah, there is enjoyment in doing ibadah, worship. But after that, tell me, can any individual, if he commits sins ongoing, la tabtulu amwalakum, Allah says, keep on analyzing yourself because you're wasting your good deeds. You're destroying your good deeds, Allah says. Why? Because it doesn't matter how much ibadah you do, how much worship you do, how much prayer you do, how much you read and recite. But if your sins are present, no ibadah, no worship, no worshipper can go into paradise. Can he? Ever? Impossible. Impossible. Do you understand my point, what I'm making? So this ibadah, worship, it can never take him to paradise, worship, prayer. The main target of the believer, human being, is what? Is to focus and pay attention to each sin. Go towards your negatives, your sins. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's what we need to focus on. That's our main purpose, target, mission of life. What great examples Allah has given to us. Start your life on this in the dunya. Start your life on this. The ibadah is great, fantastic. But if you do one sin, then it will burn your deeds. Just like Shaitan's good deeds were burnt and he was expelled from heaven due to his sin. So our main target as human beings while we're living here, if regularly, every hour, every day, save yourself from committing sins. This is our main target of life. Understand this point? Yes, this is the barrier, the hurdle that will stop us going into Jannah Paradise. That will prevent us going to Jannah Paradise. This fikr concern is not inside us. We don't care about this. Have I or you thought all day long about this main mission? No. Just living, or we'll get to paradise. Somehow or other. We keep thinking this. We must think in depth, regular, that what sins have I committed today? What wrong have I done today? Why do I go towards sins? Why do I enjoy sins? What's the cure for this? How can I stop myself from going towards darkness and wrong? It's a very serious situation. It's not a minor. Think about it. That human being who believes about death, he shouldn't even go to sleep, feel sleepy ever, if he has belief in this fact. If he's awake, alert, if he's come into real life pattern now, he knows that what will happen to me when I die? Where will I go to? Where will I arrive to? Where will I reach to? The sins are in my life. Definitely I will go to hell if I pass away like this. So this point we understand now. We've understood this point now. So now sins, vice, evil, wrong. Why does a person do this? What's the reason? Who is he disobeying? The whole deen, our whole religion. What is deen? What's the definition of deen? The definition of deen in reality is what? Allah's laws, to practice Allah's ahkams and instructions, this equals Islam. This is the definition of deen. Jibreel alayhi salam's hadith that you will have heard, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was present, that this is the hadith of Hazrat Umar in Sahih Muslim, is narrated this hadith. And when Jibreel alayhi salam came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he sat in front of him and said, what is Islam? What is Iman? What is Ihsan? Three questions he asked, didn't he? And he was to give us this lesson. Allah ta'ala wanted to teach us through this hadith. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, what is Islam? Wasaqal mashada, fasting, hajj, zakat, prayer. This is Islam. Then Jibreel alayhi salam said, okay, fine. What is Iman? What is faith? To believe in Allah, the angels, the kitabs, the prophets, the hereafter, qadr, shar, all the conditions of the kalama shahada that we recite. To believe in Allah, believe in His angels, the kitabs, the books in His prophets, messengers, believe in death, believe in the hereafter, the day of judgment, the life after death. All of these are the principles of Iman. So we've learned what is Islam, and we've learned what is Iman. These were the two first questions. The third question Jibreel alayhi asked was a fantastic question. What is Ihsan, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Ihsan. This is related to the first two points, the Islam and Iman. The third question, Ihsan, is connected to the first two questions. Ihsan, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is Ihsan? You understand what I'm saying? Slowly, I'll take us to the conclusion of today's discussion. I speak slowly, and I keep reminding, it's not gupshup, not chit-chat, gossip, we're having it. I'm just reminding ourselves of our purpose of life. Serious matter. That I'm explaining to you the preparation, the steps we can take to prepare for the hereafter. Straightforward, I can talk, oh, just pray, keep fast, this much reward, this hadith says this much reward. Let's dive deep into Islam and understand what is deen. That what will happen to us in the hereafter if we don't understand the message now? Have we ever thought about that? What is the rank of Ihsan? What is the level of Ihsan? The whole of Islam, our Islam, is linked to the level of Ihsan. If you commit sins, your Iman goes, your Islam goes. Does it not go with the sin? If you do zina, adultery, then Islam and Iman goes. If you steal, Islam and Islam go. If you steal, Iman and Islam go. And you break the principles, Iman is going up and down, up and down. Do you understand what I'm saying? Allah has given us faith, belief, and it goes up and down. It fluctuates. May not be. May Allah not allow that we die at that time when our Islam is down. Then we're in real danger. So the third level, the step that Hazrat Jibreel Islam asked and the Prophet taught, this is the main point that we need to learn. Ihsan. O Prophet of Allah, what is Ihsan? You replied, the Ihsan is such that when you worship, do any action, because the human being is doing ibadah all day long. When you worship and remember Allah, it should be as such that you feel you are seeing Allah at that time. This is Ihsan. Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullahi alayhim, 100 times, he said many times over in his life that I feel as if I've seen Allah. Many other awliya Allah, Sheikh said, I've seen Allah. And what is that? Not with the eyes, not visibly. That's once in Jannah they will see Allah. Everybody. So this is a qalbi, presence of the heart in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They stated, not the ziyarah from looking from your eyes. No. Spiritually your heart is so tender and submits that the feeling, emotion of the heart becomes as if you are seeing Allah and you are in front of Allah. So Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullah, do you think he was lying? And the mashayikh, the pious predecessors, were they lying when they said that they've seen Allah? No, that was their heart that had met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not the visible eyes, that's once that will occur. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's in paradise when you will see with your eyes. So when our pious predecessors say this, don't think, oh, they were seeing Allah here. Allah said, nobody can see me. Definitely they're not seeing Allah. But their heart is submitted to Allah. And it is this, they are feeling as if they can see Allah. They are in the presence of Allah, in the court of Allah. And this is an emotion that does overtake a person. It does overtake a person. What's a dream? What is a dream? Today in a dream, 3-4 brothers I saw in the dream. I saw my colleagues, sometimes I see colleagues in my dream. My friends I see in the dream sometimes. Sometimes I talk to a friend in my dream. This is a dream. This is a qalbi emotion when a person comes in front of you. Do you understand what I'm saying? So Allah's friends, their hearts are such, the wali's Allah, like Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullahi alayhi, he's a wali Allah. And his heart was so soft, he developed his heart, conditioned his heart, that he's arrived to the real level, that he says when Jibreel alayhi salam, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied to him that when you pray to Allah, worship to Allah, you should feel as if you are seeing Allah. So let's put that quality inside me, definitely that I can see Allah. Otherwise, why would Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reply in this hadith? But he said, at the same time, you can't see him with your eyes. So what we learn is, you won't see Allah with your eyes. So away from that, there's another system Allah has given to us, that the human being can see Allah, not with the eyes, but he can see Allah in another manner, in another method, another way. So this is called presence of the heart towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you understand what I'm saying? So this is the human being. He has this capacity. A small honeybee is doing an action that is incomparable, that is giving honey to the whole world. So what can the human being achieve? Tell me, who is the most superior form of creation? But we haven't recognized ourselves. We've run around like thieves. I've eaten food, I've eaten chicken, I've eaten fruits and vegetables, and I eat and I drink, I enjoy life. We are even lower than the animals. We're lower than the donkeys, and we're not ashamed. Even the donkeys are ashamed when they see us human beings today. Even the donkeys, even they see the human being. He's that, Allahu Akbar, that if I, this man, that if I wasn't given the order to worship, to give him the assistance, I wouldn't even take his goods on my back. And there's other, mashallah, like camels, and you have other animals, beautiful transportation in India, Pakistan, Indian subcontinent. Have you ever seen those animals? Have you sat on the animal? Lots of enjoyment sitting on the transportation. And you speak to the person who runs the tanga, and he's telling the tanga, quickly, run fast. Don't you know, he says to the horse, the horse is galloping. And that's called tanga, mashallah, the horse cart, the cart behind the horse. Allah has given all these animals the duty, and they do that, they fulfill the duty. And that human being drops even below their level. That the food, the donkey, the chicken is giving me eggs, and the donkey is giving me transport, and the cow is giving me milk, I take the milk out. And look at the human being. He can see Allah every day. Allah has given him that capacity. So what's the situation? When we do ibadah, worship, then the color, the effect of our ibadah should rub off onto us. Every man who eats Allah's food and chapati and bread, the honey that Allah has given to us, whoever eats that, whoever Allah Ta'ala has given money to us, wealth, and Allah has given us produce and chicken and meat, and every human being should be the same, that the person who eats, he does ibadah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Every human being who Allah Ta'ala gives ni'mas and treasures, Allah will ask the questions about the ni'mas He gave to us, the treasures He gave to us. How wretched and cursed we are. Are we human beings in reality? That Allah has given us this quality, that when you worship me, it should be as if you can see me, Allah says. Rasulullah SAW told us as this. And then the Prophet SAW said, if you don't feel that you can see Allah, this is the definition of ihsan, then at least minimum you should feel that Allah is watching you. Subhanallah. So you're not still far from Allah. You're not still far from Allah. The human being, he has such a connection, relationship with Allah, that not for a second is he far away from Allah. Either he can feel that he's seeing Allah, or he feels that Allah is watching him. So now let's analyze ourselves now. Am I like this? Do I have this quality? Do you feel like this? Do you have this quality? Oh, accountants, are you like this? Businessmen, are you like this? People who do music in their lives, are you like this? The professions, no, tell me what you know. I know construction, I know how to lay the bricks, I know how to make houses. Oh, I know medical field and profession. Very easily, when you say to someone, what's your profession? What's your career? One job Allah has given to us. We all have the same duty. That what's your relationship with Allah? How strong are you connected to Allah? And then why do you eat from Allah if you don't pray and worship Him? If you're munafiq, that Allah Ta'ala gives you, you are not connected to Allah. You can't, when you worship, feel that you're seeing Allah. Nor do you feel that Allah can watch you and Allah is looking at you. You don't have both of these feelings. That human being who has this feeling, do you understand what I'm saying? It's difficult to follow what I'm saying, is it? So when the human being arrives to this platform, that he doesn't feel that he can see Allah, or that Allah can see him, then after that another door opens. That's the door of nafs and shaitan, and the nafs and shaitan make him commit the sins. Now do you understand the point? So from here the sins arise. When the man detaches himself from seeing Allah, or Allah's watching him, he's lost in the world then. He's a free person now. Then the nafs and shaitan says, now we've got a chance, with ease we can drag him into hell. Oh, he's fully our client and customer now. Make him do the sins. Make him worship to the heavens, to the skies, Ramadan, and practice and pray. But let's make him keep on doing the sins. So he cannot even smell the fragrance of Jannah. So I tell you the sins and their punishments. How many sins there are there in our lives that we cannot even smell the fragrance of paradise? Ever. And he's standing in front of the Rawda Mubarak, the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's blessed grave. Such a sin people commit in front of the holy grave of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Rawda Mubarak, in front of the Kaaba in Makkah. And due to those sins, he can never smell the fragrance of paradise. Do you understand what I'm saying? How big a door has opened up for the human being to commit the sins. Shaitan's grabbed him. Nafs has grabbed him. Why? Because from both of those feelings, he doesn't. The task that Allah gave him, the quality Allah gave him, he's left that quality. The honeybee, he carries on doing his duty, makes the honey. And the fish carries on doing his duty, gives us the fish. And the chicken is many times better than us. They keep on giving us eggs. They have no concern. They're going to paradise. The maqam is given by human being. When he detaches from his platform and forgets his objective, where does he drop down to? Into that ditch. Where does he drop down to? Was the duty Allah gave to him? Is that all your life, every second, you should feel that Allah is watching you? Or you are seeing Allah, or Allah is watching you? No, I'm going to look at the shop, I'm going to look at my wife, my wife's going to look at me. I'm going to look at my children will look at me. I'm going to look at the business will look at me. Money, I'm going to count, the money will look at me. And jinn, and jersey, and cannabis, and heroin, enjoyment in life, and eat and drink. Is this the dunya for human beings? This life? I remember that statement of Hazrat Lahori Sahib Rahmatullah, that the friends of Allah, when he was walking in the bazaar, and he said to him, Wali Allah, Sheikh Lahori Sahib, where are the human beings? When he was in the bazaar in Lahore, he said, they're all human beings around us. He said, are these human beings? He said, raise your heads. To me, I can see just dogs and cats and donkeys. Why? Because nobody was following his mission of life. Nobody, no honeybee. If the honeybee doesn't manufacture honey, tell me, can the honeybee, can he stay alive? Will that person who harvests the honey, will he keep him? He said, he's just biting. Oh, let's do away with these honeybees, or give it the medicine so we can cure it. That Malik is the beauty of the owner. That 60 years I've seen you, 30 years I'm going to see you, 80 years I'm going to see you, 50 years I've given you life. Allah is the Malik, the owner of the universe. Allah has given us that. I'm waiting for you. Maybe you'll turn back to me in these 60, 58 years, that you feel that you are seeing me or I'm seeing you. Will you ever get that emotion in your life? And we keep on commemorating birthdays. Oh, happy birthday. My dad's 60 years old, 80 years old. Break the cake, cut the cake. My child's 10 years old. That is your life. Will I give you the life of cutting the birthday cake? Is this why I give you life? 10 years old, 20 years old, 60 years old, birthday cake? Is this why I give us a life? The decorate the cake. These are those who are ghair. They don't know the purpose of life. They do these things. But we Muslims, we have become like them. So much we have dropped low. Imamul Anbiya with the nation of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Quran is our guide. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is our guide. And until Qiyamah, Allah's promise that I'll give you Quran and I'll give the deputies of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, continuously they'll come to the world and guide you. They'll keep on waking you up, alerting you, reminding you. The walis of Allah. Say Subhanallah. Do you understand what I'm saying up to now? So it's a little bit different and unique, my style of speaking. Yes, after some time it digests. Yes, mashallah, there's a lot of butter, a lot of fat, a lot of depth. So slowly you'll digest the message. Slowly you'll digest the message. Do you understand today what our objective of life is? What's our objective? Tell me. What's our objective of life? Our objective of life is one. Just one. Allah is watching us, or we are seeing Allah. Every human being, Muslim, every second of our day, we should think this. Three things Allah has given deen. Allah has given us Iman, Islam, and Ihsan. Do you understand today the meaning of Ihsan? The meaning of this hadith? And the whole of Islam is sealed in this third point. The objective of the life of the human being is to attain the level of Ihsan. That whatever you're doing in the day, every second, you should feel as if you are seeing Allah. And if not, at least Allah is seeing you. Me and you, if we don't have this feeling, I say I'm a strong Muslim to everyone. I say I'm a strong Muslim. The angels of Allah know how strong a Muslim I am. They know how much I have this emotion in my life. Clear, I'll tell you, your salah, hajj, zakat, how can you be a Muslim, a believer, just by worshipping, when we cannot even get to the level of ihsan? Because all actions will be done for the wrong reasons. Whatever task, prayers, worship will all be defective, have holes and gaps in them. There'll be deficiencies in them. There'll be lacking. Definitely there'll be defects in our worship and our prayers and our actions. If we haven't got to Ihsan, say Subhanallah. Am I right or am I wrong? Tell me. Am I right or am I wrong? No, yaar. This Ihsan is for Sufis. those sit in the khanqah, the mystery Islam, and this is where Ajab, all the people, everyone's mad, I'm the wali Allah, and I've got ihsan and I'll get to there. Is this for Sufis? Oh, sons of human beings, ihsan is for every Muslim under the sun. Rasulullah ﷺ gave this hadith. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu narrated this hadith. Such a great companion. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. The Sahaba were looking, who is this man? He's come, beautiful black hair, clean white clothes. He's just come fresh. And this is the sunnah of the white clothes. Hey, look here. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu said, this man came. And the Sahaba, the students, they taught adab. The Jibreel alayhi salam came. When you go to a sheikh teacher to learn deen, come. He sat with his knees together and he lowered his head and with humility he asked the questions. And Umar radiallahu anhu said that Jibreel alayhi salam went so close to the Prophet salam, he put his hands on the knees of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam. And the Sahaba were thinking, what's going on? This was teaching of adab being given to us. Great hadith this is. Learn it. Mutafaqqa alayh. Agreed hadith. Sahih hadith, authentic ulama, they will tell you what levels of this. Sahih hadith, authentic. Why? Because whole of Islam was being taught to us in this. Salah, Hajj, Zakat, fasting, to believe in Allah, the Quran. Is this not our deen, Islam? So how will the deen come? The deen will come when we get to the level of ihsan. Ihsan. The third point, if we don't have ihsan in our lives, then we'll have a new way of life. What will that be? Obeying nafs and shaitan. And what will they develop in our lives? Sins they will bring in our life. Sins. What will he do then? That he will do all the pillars of Islam, but behind him he will have the production cycle of sins that will be burning by all of his worship. So when will we burn the sins? Let's come to the point. If we want to get rid of our sins, eliminate lying, backbiting, sin of the eyes, you cannot eliminate any sins in any way or form. No action in life can get rid of sins. That's why it says, Tubu ilallahi wa tubatan nasuha. Come to me, Allah says, and repent to me sincerely. Sincerely. Allah says this in the Quran. Allah says, I'll forgive all of your sins. What tawbah is that Allah Ta'ala is talking about? That you do in the hand of the teacher. And this is the instruction. Allah says, go and do tawbah in the hand of your shaykh. The Quran tells us this. The go and find a teacher in his hands, put your hands. And this is Islah, you are creating a relationship for Islah. Allah is telling us in Surah Mumtahina that first Allah explains all the sins, that the believing men and women, oh my Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, will come to you. And so it's necessary, just like the believing men and women, the Sahaba went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, put their hands in his hands. Same way we have to do that procedure today. Who? How to do that? What am I explaining? Why am I saying this? Because we need to go into paradise, so we need to follow the method. Otherwise we'll come off track. We won't be able to go to paradise, Jannah, if we don't learn the method. And this dunya, today what I'm saying today, this is the way to do hisab for our actions in this world. This is the real discussion, you can say, of the Sufi teachings I'm sharing with you today. So my brothers, my colleagues, now we realize that if we want to eliminate our sins, if we want to eliminate sins, there's only one way to do that. What is the path to eliminate the sins? To get to the level of ihsan. To develop ourselves so we can learn ihsan. When the believer gets to ihsan, first is Islam, then iman, but we need to get to ihsan. That I am seeing Allah, then will I commit the sins if I know that I'm seeing Allah? Whoever, if he's looking at Allah, will he look at women? Will he look at girls? Will he look at pictures and videos of girls and women on his phone? Will he listen to music and singing? It doesn't matter how much a person tries hard to leave his sin. Wallahi, no one can get rid of his sins. Today, he's stuck there in his trap of sins. And he promises again, he gets buried in the sins. Buried. Because he can't learn the process. Until you don't take the antibiotic, then the germs and the bacteria inside will not get burnt. Isn't it, Dr. Saab? Yes? That if you have a bacteria or germ, or if you've got coronavirus, for example, if you don't take the antibiotic, the medicine, then you won't get the treatment. Doctor's laughing. Dr. Saab, antibiotic? That mashallah, you, but doctor, I don't want antibiotics. Doctor will say that this medicine you're taking won't have an effect. So if the wali Allah is telling you this point, that sins, to eliminate the sins, no action will work, no antibiotic will be successful. Say subhanallah. Have you heard these words before like this? The solution, tell me. No. What a direct solution I'm giving to you. You won't be forgiven, O human being, in any way or form. Doesn't matter how many times you change your attire, your beard is white, your back is bending toward the ground, for the sake of Allah, learn. Tubu ilallahi wa tawbatan nasuha. A sincere repentance to Allah, solid repentance. The solid repentance equals you must grab hold of your sins and get rid of them. Don't practice the sins. This is tawbah. So tawbah, the word repentance, is opposite to the word sin. Like black is opposite to white. Yes, hot is opposite to cold. So tawbah, repentance, is opposite to sin. Yes, so if you say, I'm doing tawbah Allah, I'm repenting because of the sins I committed, I'm asking you forgiveness, Allah, I won't commit the sins again. They're two opposites. So what's the advice we're given? Allah says, you are doing that action to attain that maqam that you feel always that you are seeing Allah or Allah is seeing you. This is ihsan. To get there, we must shun the sins. If you do tawbah without leaving the sins, tawbah equals, the definition of tawbah is Allah will not commit the sins again. And if you don't commit the sins again, then there's only one reason that you won't do the sins again. Because immediately you will leave the sins when you feel that Allah is watching me and Allah is in front of me. Or I am seeing Allah. Say subhanallah. So we've learned this today. And as long as Allah is not in front of me, and nafs and shaitan will continue to make me commit the sins. So if nafs and shaitan make me do sins, then wahaj, umrah, prayer, recitation will take you to paradise? None of them. Will they take you to paradise? Tell me, I ask you. Will your worship take you to paradise? Automatically? No, it cannot. So it's not hard though to achieve this. It's not hard. It doesn't matter how hard it seems to us. The honeybee is giving honey, it's flying, goes to the flower. They enjoy their task. The honeybee says, I like it. It's my job, the duty Allah has given to me, the task. I enjoy that from inside me. Then I take that, I absorb that liquid and I manufacture the honey and give it to the human being. I enjoy, says the honey. That's why that human being who creates a relationship with Allah, who connects to Allah, he enjoys it when he's doing mujahidah. He enjoys that lifestyle, the Muslim, the true Muslim. He enjoys that, he likes that. Is this not the case? I heart feel like saying takbir. Allahu Akbar. Allah. I feel like saying loudly. What a great reward Allah has given to us. So much enjoyment there's in this journey of life of a Muslim to Allah. There's so much enjoyment in this journey of life going to Allah that you see and feel every second that I can see Allah. Allah is watching me. Just like the honeybee. So imagine your mujahidat, your hard work, the effort, the hurdles. But it's always too hard. How's he doing this, this pious person? That you will say there's nothing easier than practicing ihsan in life, my brothers. Ihsan. There's nothing easier than this. There's nothing more enjoyable than practicing ihsan in life. And that person seeing you, he's saying he's so stupid, he's waking up in the morning early and he's loading his goods and his luggage. He goes and opens his shop, opens the shutter, customers are coming. He's amazed. It's so hard this man is doing, running his business in the world. The lazy person who looks so hard for him, the lazy person. And he looks at him and thinks, Yaar, what's he doing? Working so hard in the world. It's too hard for me. And that man, he looks so good to me. Look, it's so hard. Why? Because he's running a life opposite to hard work and effort. Say subhanallah. Because he's lazy, negligent. So everything, do you understand every man what I'm saying in this gathering? You really do understand what I'm saying? That today, inshallah, you'll understand Deen of Islam. So every man has a duty in life that we have to save ourselves from the sins. No, even your father can save you from the sins if you don't take the method. And the way to save yourself from the sins is to practice ihsan. And the way to practice ihsan is to develop the emotion that Allah is watching you. Hazrat Umar radhiyallahu anhu was on a journey. He was wandering around. I enjoy this. And there was a shepherd. And he was in the desert like a shepherd herding his goats. Hazrat Umar radhiyallahu anhu was Amir al-Mu'mineen. You could say a villager. Pendu, he's Amir al-Mu'mineen, has Umar radiallahu anhu, with him is some more colleagues, and on the journey, they were hungry, they were thirsty. They said, oh brother, oh shepherd, we are traveling, we are musafir, give us some milk, we need some milk, we need some food. What you do is, please give to us, give us this goat, and we'll drink some milk on the way, and maybe we'll slaughter it, take the meat as well. And the shepherd says, it's not mine. The villager said, did he know he was Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu? He didn't even know he was Amir al-Mu'min. He said, please, sorry, you can go. He said, listen to me. Doesn't matter if it's not your goat. So what difference does it make? It was Hazrat Umar. He said, let me test this ummati. Let me see what game of life he's playing, this shepherd. He says he's a Muslim. Let me test his deen. Look, what a great test, huh? Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. And inside of us is a test. But where did we fail? We failed our test on the level of ihsan. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was testing him on his ihsan. That is he a Muslim or not? He wasn't asking about his prayer. He was asking him about his ihsan. Do you understand what I'm saying? A Muslim, to test his iman, he didn't ask him to recite kalima. He didn't say prostrate. He looked, he tested his emotion. If his emotion is there, then he's strong Muslim. If he's not, then he's not Muslim. He said, oh young man, listen to me. Who are you? Is your owner here around here? The owner of your goats? He said, no. He said, just give me the goat. Take some money. Put it in your pocket. The money. Give us this goat. In the evening, when the owner comes, you can say, the wolf ate your sheep. That's it. It's a common thing. And I went away for a few minutes from the goats. I was away from the goats. And a wolf came and it ate the goat. My owner. Just say that to your owner. So we'll get your goat. We'll get the hunger. We go on. And you'll get sawab. And you'll get the money from us. And you can do what you're doing. And we'll go on our way. Give us the goat. He said, is it? Subhanallah. He said, fa'inna Allah. Fa'inna Allah. He said, if I do this, fa'inna Allah, where's Allah then? He is watching me or not, isn't he? Right now. My malik, my owners, my boss isn't. You give me this advice, then tell me, where's Allah? I can see Allah right now. What will he say when I do this? This is Islam. This is Ihsan. The one shepherd had this Ihsan. Today all are big shots. Massive, pious people. Do they have this emotion then? Big reached people who said this, don't ask us about Islam, we are pious, righteous. How will we be recognized, this feeling, this emotion? How will you know if you got this feeling, emotion? From which point? Not your mihrab, not your sign of prostration, not your Hajj Umrah. When you judge, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, the Hazrat Umar test, apply that test, the Hazrat Umar test. Have you got this in? How much does your wife complain against you? How much do your children complain against you about your akhlaq? What do people say to you about your conduct, your manners? Not your sujood, not your prostration. What do people say to you about your akhlaq? How many hearts have you broken? How many people's money have you eaten? With your children, what have you done? How do you treat the children, the family, with your wife, with your relationships, with your relatives, your mother? This is deen. This deen, the martaba, the rank of ihsan, generates this deen of Islam. For which the Holy Prophet ﷺ said, I was sent as a prophet for this reason, to complete the teachings and lesson of akhlaq, so I can teach you good manners, good character. My shaykh, when he told me Islam, his second letter came after me. That you want to be wali Allah? You want to be a teacher? Then these, you will get highs and lows, you will have dreams and ziyarat, and you'll be feeling like you're wali Allah. All of this will come. You'll have thinking, he was my shaykh. He said, remember this, walayat, this will not be friendship with Allah. All these emotions and feeling. Don't think that you are wali Allah. This is the complete shaykh who wrote a letter to me. He said, Abdul Qadir will come, this person will come, dreams, I will come to you in the dreams. Many things you will see, because you are on the path of tazkiyah, purification. You're on that journey that you are going towards, the journey to see Allah. So many feelings, emotions, but let me tell you clearly, don't think you're wali Allah. If you want to see the sign of walayat, remember one point, that when your akhlaq-e razila ends, and akhlaq-e hamida, good conduct manners comes in your life, then you can say that you are a friend of Allah. When your conduct improves. This is the letter of my shaykh, my second letter he sent to me. Second letter. And we think we are pious, wali Allah. Who did you see in dream today? I saw this dream. I met him today. This shaykh, this feeling, this pious elder. Oh, you're wali Allah, you're kutub, yaar, you've reached. What does the shaykh say? The complete teacher? No, my student. What will make you realize your akhlaq-e hamida, your high level of conduct will tell us if you are pious. People will do zulm on you and they will oppress you and you will forgive them. People will fight you and you will forgive them, subhanAllah. People will steal your goods and you will distribute your wealth. People will be upset with you and you will be making up the ties of friendship and kinship. Reading tajwid easy, this ibadah is hard to me. Tell me, this ibadah of akhlaq, that somebody fights with you, swears at you, and you go up to him and beg him, say, Ya, stop fighting, quarreling, Ya, let's make up today. Someone takes your money, your wealth, and puts it to waste. Your relative, uncle, they've done zulm with you, oppressed you with your money. Say, oh, leave it, uncle, leave it, don't worry. And you go and press his legs without any other reason. Millions of sujood of tahajjud are waste. And this one ibadah that you do, this is the real of Islam. This is the essence of Islam. The high level conduct, high level manners. Brothers, this is the real deen. For the sake of the broken heart, the human being was created. Otherwise, for obedience, there was nothing lacking in the creatures Allah has created. You understand this poem? For the sake of the broken heart, to mend the broken heart, Allah said, I created the human being to break, to mend the broken heart, to be kind-hearted, so he feels pain for other human beings. He should have mercy, you should have generosity and affection, humanity. Allah said, I created you for this. If I was to create you for prostrations, Allah says, all my billions of angels are prostrating to me. I don't need your prostration, Allah says. You run around with a sign of prostration and do ibadah, worship. Allah says, I don't need this. Show this ibadah to me, Allah says, of good akhlaq, good manners, mending the broken hearts, kind heartedness. I'll give you such professions, ways of life, that the best profession is what? Through which the makhluk, when you're connected to the creation of Allah, that's the best profession. When you have a connection with the customer. For example, a person who runs a shop, he is given the status of the shuhada, the martyrs, the true, honest, tajir, businessman. He has the rank of the shaheeds, the true tradesman, businessman. Because his contract is with who? With the makhluk, the human beings. Ask me, ask yourselves, that have you ever, you bought a pair of shoes, say. Yes, and you go back to him, that you paid him £50, you come home, and you don't like that shoe, that your feet feeling tight, I gave you £50, hey, please, I bought a new pair of shoes, and you go back to the shopkeeper, they are, I bought this, they're too tight, I don't like them, give me the money back. He says, oh, go run away, I don't give you the money back. Go away, get rid of it. That's all he says to you. Ask that man how his heart will feel broken at that time. Yes, and he hasn't got any other money, he bought those shoes, and he has to forcefully wear them now. Then go to the other hand now. You go, and what does Islam teach us? That one of you, somebody comes to buy from you goods, and there's any defect, and he says to you, and he highlights that to you afterwards, then give that back to him. Give the money back to him, and take that goods back. And we are being taught this today, our Islam taught this many, many years ago. Tell me how many shopkeepers, or businessmen, or tradesmen, that they take the torn thing back, or the thing that's worn, they take back from that customer. That's why he's been given a maqam. Akhlaq, good manners is with that person. That, for example, you have a medical profession or another profession, you'll have customers, clients come to you, they'll swear at the doctor, call you dog when you give the injection. And that the children will slap at you and you'll smile and give the treatment to the patients. Your mood should not be off. And you'll go overtime for the human beings, not for money. Not for money. How many people's, mashallah, during Corona, doctors passed away? What's their maqam? What's their status? Because their intention was to serve the humanity, the human beings. Every human being who has a contract with human beings, mashallah, he's doing a very good job when he's serving the human beings, doing work for the human beings. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's good points we discussed today. Everywhere in the world you can find Allah. It doesn't matter what you do in the world. In the morning you're going to work and you have connection with the human beings in the world. You're a taxi driver, for example. And you have clients and customers, your passengers. Then consider that your Jannah journey has started. He's poor. You say, okay, no problem, my customer. I don't need to take money from you. Oh, someone's in trouble, difficulty. Don't worry. No worries. Give more change. Smile. Take their goods, luggage, old man. Put him into the car. Don't think, is he Hindu, Sikh, non-believer? Doesn't matter. He's a creation of Allah. Creation of Allah. Help them. Biggest ibadah you're doing at that time. And the money that you'll earn through that service, subhanallah, the barakat, blessings, you want me up to look after the barakat. Because you've done khidmat-e khalq, serve the human beings. We just first count the notes first, look at the currency. Taxi driver, he doesn't look at the meter, he looks at the human being. What does he do? What's the trouble? How can I help? Not looking at the meter ticking along. The doctor I saw, consultant, subhanallah, doctor, consultant, I respect him so much, I won't say his name, he's a consultant. Of the stomach, digestive system. And what a human being, what great humanity is. He's still alive, that brother. Great doctor. And his method, I was surprised, amazed that he had a great standard of how he used to practice and treat the patients. 3-4 times paid people I sent to him, a unique standard here, this doctor. Beautiful akhlaq, great high morals. First he asked the patient, and he doesn't just ask like this, he doesn't directly, he just indirectly says, what do you do, what's your work? And he gets it right, okay. Then sort of, do you do a government job? Do you run a business? He's assessing the patient, his capacity. He's assessing the patient. Then he wants to know who's poor and who's rich from my patients. And who's got money, who hasn't got money. He wants to assess that first. Through discussion and having a chit chat, a bit of a gossip. Then he assesses. Then he charges. He doesn't have fixed fees, 250, 350. He sees he's poor, not that well off. Then he says, do you give tax? Do you pay tax? Or tax you're paying as well, you're a tax-bearing person. Okay, then I'll give you a cheaper treatment. And then he writes that medicine, which is the best medicine. Subhanallah, and he gives the, and he doesn't put the burden on the pocket of the patient. Tell me what he is earning, that doctor at that time. What is he earning? If he's got this man, that the mashallah, he must be the greatest wali Allah at the time. The kutub, this is the maqam Allah gives. That what a great profession. That, for example, then if he doesn't have iman, even then in the dunya Allah gives him benefit. Even in the dunya Allah will give him benefit, but no akhirah, no hereafter. And this is, if he's got kamil iman, complete iman, then imagine how much he's helping the poor people. Assisting them. Yes. And I've made him my friend. A very good friend of mine he's now, that doctor. So my friends, the real purpose of life, this is what we need to learn. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the path to Jannah is one, and that path to Jannah is what? Is to reject the sins. Reject the sins. Understand, I'm giving you the summary of the discussion. A person who wants to go to paradise, anyone, put your worship to one side today. Put it all to one side, then think. I want to go to paradise. The path to paradise is to reject the sins. Every single sin. The disobedient person won't go to paradise. Doesn't matter how much he worships in front of you. Put the worship to one side. Won't take you to paradise. Let me look at my sins. What are they? I prayed tahajjud in Umrah. Keep on doing that. Keep on doing that. No difference whatsoever. But don't trust your deeds to take you to paradise. What do you need to trust? The path, the method, that there should be no disobedience in your life. Sins. So when the sin you put in front of you, how do I save myself from the sins? The tariqah method is only one, and that is the tariqah that you should feel that you can see Allah, or at least that Allah is watching you every second of your life. Understand today's lesson? And if anyone wants to go to paradise, then he will have to leave the sins. And if you want to protect yourself from the sins, then you must develop this emotion inside you that you are seeing Allah, or if at least Allah is watching. If you say you can't develop this, then nauzubillah, did Allah send the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and this hadith and this solution to us for nothing? No way. We must learn this method. So how do we bring this emotion inside us? That's the crux of the discussion today. Say subhanallah. Shall I tell you then how to bring this emotion inside us? That at least we should feel that Allah is watching us, or that we are seeing Allah. We've understood the discussion up to now. Then how do we develop? How do we bring this into our life? Oh, we think, though, these are wasteful talk. No, just pray and keep the fast Ramadan. That's enough. What's this waste of time discussion? No, oh stupid person. This is the main thing we need to learn today. Not prayer. This is the main thing we need to implement in our lives. If you don't put the salt on the food, doesn't matter how much nice you cook it, put rogan, put the spices in, but you won't get the enjoyment because it's lacking salt. There's no salt. Let's put the effect of salt. When you put salt in the cooked dishes, then you taste it and you're looking around, where's that salt? Bring some salt, please. When he brings the salt and you scatter the salt, have you got any salt in your cupboard? You'll keep on eating, but you'll feel it's lacking. You won't feel the taste, enjoyment. So you can carry on doing ibadah worship, but there's no salt in your ibadah. Because you're committing the sins. There's no fragrance of paradise because there's sins in your life. So for that, what you must do is develop the emotion, the feeling, my brothers, minimum requirement for every human being who's a believer, that Allah is watching me right now. Subhanallah. It's not hard to develop this. It's not difficult. Is it difficult? Shall I tell you the method how to develop the feeling? So now we've understood 100%. That we must feel every second that Allah is watching me. Allah is watching me. Allah is observing me. Allah observes me. So we must do one action to develop this. We must fight. We must fight because we are strong. We are very strong. So we must fight. We must fight the big enemy of ours. And who's the enemy? The nafs, the desires that are inside us. The desires. And to develop this feeling and emotion and awareness that Allah is watching us, who must we fight? Our nafs, our desires. That's it. Simple story. Okay, now we've realized who the big thief is. You know, when a pickpocket is found, then everyone starts beating him. Oh, he's that thief. Everyone at that time starts beating him. He stole from those people. He stole their wallets. Everyone grabs him, starts beating him on the back, on the front. No one listens. He's screaming, please save me, save me. No one listens. Everyone's beating him at that time. Maybe we'll even go and join in as well. So, oh, he's that badmash. So now we've learned today the badmash, the big gangster, is the nafs. That's looted our iman, our life. Let's grab hold of the nafs. He is the real burglar. They are the real Muslims. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. Has Allah said not this in the Quran? Yes. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. They are the true believers who fight their desires. What do we do with our nafs? We cooperate with our nafs. We embrace our nafs, our desires. We play with our desires. How? We make friendship with our desires. Proper solid friendship with our desires. rather being friends with the desires is like you are shaking the hands of the murderer, and he can murder you any second. You are embracing the murderer. So the nafs is no true friend of any person. The nafs. Don't take back what I'm saying. I'm just trying to make it crystal clear. Our desires is our worst enemy and the biggest enemy of ours. Biggest enemies are our own desires, our nafs. So we must fight against our desires. Don't cooperate with the desires. Fight and go against your desires. The biggest enemy, the biggest enemy. Shaitan isn't is nothing in front of the desires. The shaitan, he pesters you, whispers, runs away. Whispers, does waswasa, runs away. Whispers, influences you. And the weak people, they always got the waswasa of shaitan in your eyes. But he's just a daif. Quran says he's daif, shaitan. He's not a strong enemy. The nafs is the stronger enemy. The worst enemy, nafs will definitely make you commit. Oh yeah, I'll just do it. Oh, let's look at this. He'll run after you, whisper inside you, the nafs. Until the nafs doesn't make you commit the sins, he will never leave your side. Never. Oh, yaar, just smoke the fag, cigarette, yaar, smoke some cannabis. What difference does it make? Yaar, just look at this, do what you want. No, 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 yaar. Oh, it's a minor, yaar. And he'll say, oh, look at your eyes. It make you feel good while you're committing sins. Then the nafs will leave you after you've committed the sins. That's the habit of the nafs. Never leaves the man, makes you commit the sin. Keeps on. Yaar, just do it. What difference does it make? Yaar, it's tasty, it's enjoyment, yaar. Oh, just do it once, then do tawbah after that. Oh, we'll ask Allah for forgiveness. Oh, yaar, do this, he'll make you do this, and make you do this. He'll keep on pestering you, and then eventually you commit that sin. You say, oh, yaar, let's just do it. And he'll make you do that action that Allah has prohibited. He'll make you commit any of the sins under the sun. So what do we need to do to fight against the nafs? What do we need to do? This is the question. So here, وَجَّهَدُوا فِينَ لَنَهَدِيَنَّهُمْ لَسِزْلَسُبْنَهُمْ. If you want to become the mujahid at that time, and you pull yourself together, and you get yourself ready to fight the nafs, وَجَّهَدُوا فِينَ لَسِزْلَسُبْنَهُمْ, then I will show you the path to my marifa. I'll show you my love. Then you will see me, Allah says. Then it will be as if you are seeing me. Because Allah has promised. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَهَمْ أَلْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah says, this is a sharti Allah, condition. Yes, Allah says, shartiya, the condition. Allah says, that I'm with you, I'll stay with you, I'll stick with you, Allah says. And you are muhsin, Allah says, subhanAllah, muhsineen. You have implemented the action that I gave you, the solution to find the nafs. So what's the mujahid that we need to do? Right, let me take one sin now. Let's extract one sin. Any habit in your life which is sinful, let's take one, okay? One example. I want to get rid of the sin, and okay, inside me I've got the habit of looking at the wrong things with my eyes. In old men it's more than the youngsters. The old men, they use their eyes wrongly more. Gazing around, staring, massive sin. If I tell you the punishments for the wrong look of the eyes in Jahannam, looking at the stranger, non-mahrim men and women. The sin and the punishment. Do tawbah. Okay, this sin of using my eyes in the wrong way, I'm going to do tawbah for this. So nafs will come. Now the fire starts. Here the nafs will come. Because the nafs objective is one. The nafs want to make you commit the disobedience to Allah and commit the sin. So the nafs will come along. The nafs will not get you to the maqam that you will see Allah or Allah is watching you. The nafs will never allow you together. So the fight starts now, the proper fight. Proper clash. That's why Allah says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّى وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّى. So this is where the success comes now. This is the clash now. So guna, I've got a habit of backbiting, let's say now. Another sin. Backbite against people. Okay, I won't do the backbiting now. You will fill in the sheet system, don't you? The sheets of sins. Okay, backbiting. It's a big sin, big punishment. Tell me now. So this is the rank of ihsan that the sheet system teaches us. Do you understand what I'm saying or you don't understand what I'm saying? Yes. No, yaar, I don't backbite after that. I won't backbite. We shouldn't backbite. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 days pass. 6 day, backbite again. That I just said I'm not going to backbite. Oh, you backbite against your wife, uncle, mother, other people. We don't finish a discussion with our mother, wife, sister until we don't talk about someone else. Allah has given a whole verse. Beware that don't backbite against your colleague, fellow Muslim. It's like you are eating the flesh of your real brother. Can there be any bigger punishment than this? That when a woman or a man backbite, they are in reality physically. Physically at that time he's consuming the flesh of that dead person. And I've seen this in people. That when a person finishes backbiting, then their taste buds change. This is Allah's words. They are truth. When Allah says something is truth. When a person backbites, Hajj, Umrah, what the root sheep will they result in the backbiting? Haram! Flesh of your real brother, sister, you are consuming their flesh, eating it, chewing it. And the person who says, I'm not, he is a disbeliever. Because he's rejecting the Quran. There is not a minor verse. A normal man, if he rejects Quran, I don't believe, then he's a disbeliever, he doesn't believe in the verses. Any man, woman, your worship, put it to one side now, we're talking about the sins, let's analyze our deeds. What about the worship is it you're doing? Keep on worshipping. But how is the worship? Is it being accepted? Haram. You are cutting him and his meat, you make kebab and you eat his kebab, say Allahu Akbar and pray. Will his salah be accepted? Will it make any difference to his salah? He's backbiting. Real life that take anyone, Allah says not allowed at all. Doesn't matter who you're speaking about. You cannot backbite at all. So now we're reflecting, isn't it? We're just assessing our daily lives. So just like in a mirror, I could say, I'm a wali Allah, you're worshipping, you're pious. I could just speak to you 2 hours. You have high maqam, you worship, you pray. This is your reward, that's your reward. No, brothers, I have to go to Qiyamah. I have to stand in front of Allah on the Day of Judgment. You as well. So let's talk good discussion. So a brother's heart opens, my heart opens, and we go towards the reality of Islam. Yeah, I'm not making you scared, am I? I'm just showing you the physical path to Allah. To paradise. I'm just giving you determination. You can do everything under the sun that Allah Ta'ala said to us to do. Every brother, everyone listening today can implement deen. Everyone. Allah has given us, if we can eat Allah's meat and chickens and eggs, we can also practice the path that Allah has defined in Islam. Allah gives us food for this reason, otherwise it'd give us stomach pain. Allah wants us to be strong. So we can follow His laws and orders. That's why we have the cycles of the world around us. Allah has given us food and nature and drink. So we can fulfill His orders. Allah has given us migraine and tablets. Allah has given us weight training. Women getting married. Husband, wife, children. Allah has not given us life for these things. Allah says, I give you food and relatives. Allah has given you cream and milk and sustenance and vegetables and meat. Allah says, so you got the energy and life, you got power now, so you can follow the lifestyle Allah has ordered us. You're talking rubbish, I don't have energy, time, power. Though your enemies are making you influence you, do the sins because they're ready to go to hell. Those who make a drama, I don't have time. Oh Allah, I'm lazy, I can't do dhikr, I don't have time, I can worship you, I have to get up in the morning, I have to work, I'm busy in the world. They are those drama, fake people who've accepted that we accept Jahannam. They have accepted it, embraced Jahannam. They are cooperating with the sinful life. Otherwise, so happy should be the believer, a Muslim. There's difference in the two murid students. There's difference amongst the students. Difference amongst the students. One is that student who every word of the shaykh he embraces with his heart, happy. Most severe, strict, he says, Subhanallah, my shaykh, what a great, great thing you've said today. My shaykh, you've saved me from hell. And there's another student, oh, my shaykh's too hard, strict, severe. Hazrat Sahib says something, too strict, too hard. I can't practice this. Too hard, yeah, leave that, yaar. That other shaykh is better, he's easier, let's go to him. How many times he said to me, do this, and he elbows the shaykh who thinks he's severe. I told you, my friend, why did you bring me a shaykh? Let's just go and do zikr there. No, he's next Monday, we'll get Jannah, let's go and listen to the other shaykh, says we can do everything under the sun. So two types of students, two types of murid. Which murid do you want to be? Student, tell me. A or B? Oh, nice, too hard, yaar. Oh, leave our shop, leave our business, because he said it's haram. They said this, leave this as well in the dunya. This is not allowed, this is not permitted. Never will he go into Jannah. You can say you're Naqshbandi, but I will speak honest, straightforward talk. Honest, straightforward talk. You understand what I'm saying up to now? Has everybody here who's here understood? Put your hands up if you understand what I'm saying. Okay, fine. The other person, youngster, he's sleeping there. Okay. Okay, now. So, ghibat, you're doing backbiting. And you start to leave backbiting. I want to get rid of backbiting. Hazrat Sahib, my teacher, has told me I should get rid of backbiting. I can't get rid of it. I lose it. That's it. But when you finish and you die, you tried and you couldn't get backbiting. You're trying, you're making effort, you're living, you're making effort, you're trying. It's a routine. I'm trying, but I can't eliminate it. Then you are cooperating with your enemy, the nafs, and backbiting. So long, so many years, you're eating the haram meat of your brother or sister. That means you're cooperating with your enemies. Fight with your enemies. Who with? Fight. Who is making you backbiting? Who is making you commit this sin? Who? Your nafs. So fight with your nafs. Have you ever fought against your nafs? Say Subhanallah. And the enemy that's taking you towards the backbiting and making you consume the haram meat, and you're easy with that, you're happy with that. Have you ever fought against the nafs? Battled against the nafs? Have you argued with the nafs? You're just enjoying your life. And you're just playing the game along with the nafs. So if you're happy, then I'm praying salah, aren't I? I'm doing dhikr, I go to the majlis, I pray tahajjud, yeah, my sheets are full, and in Ramadan I've booked the ticket, the seat for Umrah, and that way the nafs has suppressed you by committing the sin. Say subhanAllah. Ibadah, you got the ticks of ibadah, worship on the sheets, has it made you a waster? It's a total waste of time. What you need to see is that, why am I not eliminating the sins from my life? How do we do it in Mujahada? I'll give you two examples. The very famous example I give to you that you know, otherwise there's many examples I could give to you. There's a high level example I give to you. High level, why? Because in this generation, this is the generation, the time of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there was no greater human beings than the human beings who were there at the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Could there be any greater human beings? They cannot be born after, nor were they born before. The Sahaba Ikram. They were the greatest who lived in the world. No will an era ever come after, nor was there an era before. This is the era of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Sahaba, the blessed companions. MashaAllah. Even then, there was wrong things around at that time, the environment. What was their tariqah, their method of battling the nafs, of fighting? That they could feel that they can see Allah, or at least that Allah can see them, to fight and quarrel with the nafs. What was their tariqah? Hazrat Talha radiallahu anhu, he was praying salah. Imagine his salah, his worship, his prayer. And one sahabi salah, the era, the time of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Talha, and you, maybe you haven't seen this place, but I've seen the ziyarah. When you from Bab al-Majid, the door of Majid, when you enter into Masjid Nabawi, then on your right side you see, when you go towards the right, and on the left there, you will see, on the left side there's an office there. If you go just a bit beyond the office there, there's the sign of his bag, his garden of Hazrat Talha radiallahu anhu. There's a carpet there, but I've done the ziyarah there, I've prayed salah there, nafal there as well. So that garden was there at that time. And there he was praying salah in his garden. What is now Masjid Nabawi. It was a nice, beautiful garden. And there was, but he was praying salah, beautiful salah. Whilst he was praying salah, he was put off by a bird that was flying through the garden. He saw that bird. And he had a thought that something's coming to my garden, big garden, whatever the thoughts. And there he stopped. He dropped. Just one example I'm giving to you. Many examples of awliyaullah, friends of Allah, the walis of Allah, they became walis of Allah through sacrifice, my friends. Effort. And whichever example I give to you, my brothers, Chishti, Qadri, Naqshbandi, whichever sheikh you name it, name Ali Waliyah's name, I'll tell you that how did he become a waliyaullah? Through the effort and struggle, not through worship. Through mujahida, hard work, constant effort, striving. Gee, yes. So when he felt this, Hazrat Talha, he felt sad at that time, distressed. How did this happen that my nafs made me commit this sin? That I was praying and my thought was put off, and I was thinking about Allah and I was put off. How can this be? Have we ever even thought like this? We are all similar, equivalent, human beings. He came to teach us, they came to teach us that you must keep on doing these actions. Otherwise those words would never have got to us. Until today, has any human being's words spread around the world? So many millions and billions of people have come to the world. There are select few people until today we are learning from the words. We open the kitab, we put the hands on the Quran, say that this is the event in Sahih al-Bukhari. MashaAllah. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala prepared for His deen to be spread. Allah said, you have to do these actions. This wasn't just for the Sahaba. The Quran and the Hadith. Totally, you need to follow that generation of the Sahaba and connect yourself to that generation of the time of the Prophet ﷺ. Keep on reading Sahih Bukhari and feel as if you're in that time, that era. And follow the example. Bukhari, Sahih Bukhari, when you practice it, it takes us to the era. Muwatta Imam Malik takes us back to the time of the Prophet ﷺ. The emotions, the feelings, the practice, they haul us back to that time. SubhanAllah. So Hazrat Ta'ala said that he taught us then how to fight the nafs. How do you clash and go against your desires? Because it's inviting us to do wrong. So let's learn from this example. So if you take the sin out from your life, men and women, sisters and brothers, Sufis, this is the example. What's the sin? What's the wrong? He left his garden, immediately said, I leave this garden. That's it, I detach myself, Ta'ala said. And we, no, I need to keep these things. Oh, I look to them, astaghfirullah, I look to the wrong thing, we look again. These sins we do, we can't even leave these sins. Yeah, he said, stop, I detach myself from this garden. He went to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to his sheikh, to his teacher. He told the defect and the cure came. He said, this garden of mine has disturbed me from the remembrance of Allah. He made me forget. And I give sadaqah of my garden to the path of Allah. I have no connection with my garden anymore. This is not some minor sacrifice. If a person has a shop and he's given his whole shop away on one sin, what happened? That he showed, demonstrated that this is how you'll have to fight your desires if you want to reach to Allah. You have to take out the root cause from your nafs and throw it away. How did the nafs make you commit the sin? Understand what I'm saying? Hazrat Hassan radiallahu anhu. I'll tell you one of his events. He was traveling somewhere and he saw a beautiful scene in front of him. Yes? And you think a person when his sight was to see the scene around him, he doesn't lift his sight. The Naqshbandi says, where should you keep your sight? Keep your sight down on the ground. Don't look at shops around you. We wander around these businesses, cars and all desires of the world increase. Look at this car, look at this shop, look at this building. The Naqshbandi says, keep your gaze down near your feet. You don't need to look around, gaze around, glare at things. Keep your gaze down wherever you're traveling, wherever you're going to. So people think that you're maybe like blind, you know, looking around. The person like this who keeps his gaze down, well, you know, I need a Merc, I need a BMW, I need a registration plate, my name, I need this building, asset, and look at these takeaways, he's opened a takeaway restaurant, I'll eat there next and tomorrow. His gaze are down, and those women who wear niqab, it doesn't mean they look around, glaring around, because nobody can see my face. They do the same sin. Even if you were in the niqab, they were in the card, shopping, tell us all the stories. Oh, I met that brother, I saw him, and he was going there, and that imam was going there. You got the niqab on your face. And in your heart, your nafs is saying, you are a pious, righteous woman. You can see all the men around you, the nafs says. And you're watching everybody. Your gaze should be down. How did you raise your gaze? That just by hiding your face, that means you can look at all the men around you. He's there, I saw that brother there today. He was there, and that imam was there, that scholar was there, that woman, his sister was there. I saw this and that. Keep your gaze down near your feet. What a fantastic silsila, Naqshbandi order. Naqshbandi order, great. No one, I don't say Chishti, Qadri, Surah, they don't teach us. Who says this? Naqshbandi order says, keep your gaze down. Because all the sins they distribute from the gaze, because the nafs attacks the eyes first, commit the sins. This is a lengthy topic, I won't go into that sidetrack. Okay. So you understood what I'm saying, yeah? So nafs, we must fight the nafs. So Hazrat Hassan, radiallahu anhu, he saw something that his eyes were deviated by a scene, a beauty. He sat down, he said, why did you do this wasteful scene? He's addressing himself. The nafs is yourself. So you're talking to yourself. Oh man, you were walking, you raised your gaze and you saw some apparent beauty. Why did you do this? What made you do this? Okay, tell me, what connection did you have by looking at this sight? With this wrong side. What is your connection, relationship with that side? Why did you gaze wrongly? Why did you waste your time? Why did you spoil your deen? Why did your side go towards the wrong thing? So you could have made me do any sin. You're dragging me towards a sin. Stop here. For 1 year I will keep the fast from today. End of story. He gave himself that target. The whole year from today I will keep the fast. Because I looked at the wrong thing today. Say subhanallah. Here 10 years we don't get rid of backbiting. Yeah, because we don't fight with our desires. Okay, even here there's another tactic. There was one brother of ours, and he couldn't leave a sin. I said to him, okay, this is the era, and the sheikh gives the cure to the student. I said, okay, you have a fine. Next time you come, that with every sin, you'll have to put £5 in the pot. He said, is it? Okay. So he came after 40 days, and his old box, he came with money full in the box. I said, what's this? He said, the sins, the money, the sins are committed. I said, okay, I understood. He's paying the fine. So this was no burden because he's got the money. He's a rich man. So the money he's paying for the fines, no difference to him. So I said, okay, let's look at the cure. Remember, there's a different cure. Why do you go to the sheikh, the teacher? Because if I said, oh, he's enjoying himself. He's doing the sins. He's putting the £5 in the box. No difference. Keep on doing the sins because I've got the money. Here's the money. I said, okay, put that money in the masjid box. Charity, I'll give you another cure. I say, your nafs, how to extract your nafs, because you're stood as firm in front of your nafs. So everything, you have to take the root cause where you have pain when you fight your desires. Is this not the case? Yes. So the person who has not done mujahid in his life, then he can never leave the sins in the life. The person who doesn't leave the sins, he can never get to the maqam that he feels that Allah is watching him, or he's seeing Allah. He will never leave the sins, and whoever never leaves the sins, he cannot go into paradise. Sequence of today. The story's end. End of story. Struggling, striving, وَجَهَدُ فِينَ لَنَهْدِيَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ Allah says. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is the deen of Islam. The real deen is this that I've explained today. Stand and fight with your sins. Fight with your nafs. Make a sheet. The shaykh tells you a sin. You fight against that. And the rest, everyone, whatever everyone says is rubbish. This is deen. That this will come out of my life. If I don't, I'm not a proper human being. Look, then see how the sins will come out. See how the shaykh will help you to extract and eliminate the sins. So be ready. Are you ready? Be ready. At least it's better than going into Jahannam. At least you'll be traveling towards paradise. So when with this method the human being does mujahada. Here another beautiful point comes to mind. Hadith. When a person practices life that he fights his sins and he fights his nafs and his desires in this way. Yes, and he fights and attacks his nafs and his desires. Okay, you made me lie today. And then he will fast for a week. I won't eat for a week now. When he stops eating for a week, then see how he will go back to the scene. He will never go back to the scene. Yes, so that for example, somebody eats, you have some good food, it's good for you, say, I'm not going to eat this for a month, for a week. Bananas I like to eat, I'm not going to eat the banana. And subhanAllah, then also keep on updating your shaykh so he can help you. Then see how the sin will be extracted. Okay, subhanAllah. So this is called mujahidah. Making effort, striving. Now if you're striving and you die, then let me tell you hadith now. This is the plane of resurrection, day of judgment, hisab will be taking place, accounts will take place, the deeds will be presented. Good news comes as well at the same time. So people will be hisab, kitab, a man like me will be presented, come forward, day of judgment, talhina, come forward to the justice. All of mankind will be stood there, no parda, no veil, no one in hiding, no secret. Everyone will see, oh, he's zani, he did adultery. We thought he was pious. Oh, he used to do these sins. All the bundle of sins will be laid out bare. All dunya, everyone from mankind history will see you. Shaykh, shaykh, they say to you here, and there in the hereafter. Allah say, okay, put the parda veil from all four sides. The nur, the light, the veil of light will surround you then. And everyone will be behind, can't see you. And Allah will address you, oh my servant. All these sins you committed. Yes, Allah, I did commit these sins, Allah. Allah said, did you do these sins? Yes, Allah. There's no one can lie there in Allah's court. Allah says, okay. But you did those actions that I told you to do. Yes, Allah, I was trying. First, you rejected, yes Allah, I was doing sins, but I tried, the shaykh told me the sin. I was fighting with my nafs, my desires. I was trying to eliminate the sins, just like my shaykh prescribed, advised. Allah said, did you fight? Yes Allah, I fought my nafs, I tried. Were you trying? Yes Allah, I was striving. Allah says, remove that veil. When the veil is removed, the whole world will be amazed, mankind. No sin will be evident or visible. He will be full of the light of forgiveness. And Allah says, forgive all of his sins and send him to paradise. وَجَهَدُ فِينَا Allah will say that your mujahida, your striving, I will keep on watching that, witnessing that. That's what I need from you, Allah says. That you try, you strive to get rid of the sins. Understand today what I'm saying? So our target of life, every second of the day and night is don't let sins come near to you. Keep fighting your sins, fighting your desires. And every way or form, don't be satisfied fighting your desires. Never be satisfied in your worship. Your prayer, remove that prayer worship veil, because they will obscure you. Look at your sins, always look at your sins, and the punishments of sins put in front of you. The punishment for lying is here. Punishment for backbiting is this. Punishment for hatred is this. Punishment for envy is this. Punishment for bad manners is this. Punishment for lying is this. Punishment for eating haram is this. All the sins, punishments, keep them in front of you. Think about, by not practicing this sunnah, punishment is this. All the sins, this sin, A, B, C, put them, then start working hard. This much punishment. And keep breaking, shattering your desires until Ramadan. Don't wait till Ramadan. Every day of the Muslim's life is Ramadan. Every day of the life of the Muslim is Ramadan. Ramadan comes to teach us this. Why do we fast? Why do we fast in Ramadan? Why? Why do we stay hungry? And just one demand of Ramadan, fasting month. Just one demand. And after fasting, this is one demand. No demand other than this one demand of Allah. No other demand. Just one demand Allah is in fasting and after. And what is that? Don't commit the sins. Just one demand. That's it. That keep such a fast, in that fast, don't commit the sins. Otherwise your Ramadan is down the drain. 30 days Allah makes you practice this one action. Don't commit the sins. And even that we put as ibadah. Of Ramadan, how many times do you read Quran? How many juz, go umrah? And the sins are there stacking up. We have failed in the objective. لَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ Allah says Ramadan. لَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ You have failed in the objective of Ramadan. The mission of Ramadan. Do you understand what I'm saying? Ibadah has no connection to Ramadan. Worship. The word, the connection of Ramadan is the servant to Rabb Allah. And the servant's connection with Allah, connection is just one. Don't disobey Allah. That makes the connection and relationship between us human beings and Allah. Don't commit the sins. This is the rope between us and Allah. That I am Allah, you are my servant. Don't disobey me. And then you get stronger as a believer. Not worship. Whatever I say, you keep on doing. That's the relationship with Allah. Don't move from this point, Allah says. That's the relationship with Allah. Where I give you the permission to test you, you can do the action, but we start playing with the nafs and following the instructions of the nafs. So this is the Islamism, ibadah, 5 times salah, and you sit and a talk and you're given good news, you're forgiven, you went to umrah, you're forgiven. Yes, the rewards are there, but only if the condition when you have servanthood and you have the relationship with Allah, and when Allah is happy with you. And when? You will get with the rewards, only then you'll get the rewards. Why not? Ramadan is rewards, Salat is rewards, Tasbih, Dhikr. Allah's put rewards. But Allah says, first do that action that will make you the rightful, deserving owner of the rewards. If you commit the sins, then you will get no rewards. How can the sinful person say he's deserving of rewards? How? He? Because his maqam is not correct. A person who changes the way, no, I'll keep it, no, do this action, I'll do this one day, leave this sin, no, not today. We have no system, no principles. So anyhow, my beloved dear colleagues who are working hard, striving, just change your path a little bit, make it strong, start fighting with the nafs, and tell your shaykh your disease, sicknesses, so your shaykh can also help you in the fight. And the shaykh can help you eliminate, you extract the sins. And we've got a beautiful system, the tazkiyah system, mashallah. And for me, it's a big burden until 2 a.m, 3 a.m, 10,000 sheets. Who's going to see 10,000 accounts of people? But I have to do this till the middle of the night. Because whoever's got a connection with the creation of Allah, there's no ibadah. What's the greatest ibadah? Is to serve the humanity. Whichever human being gives benefit to another human being, then he is the greatest human being. He is pleasing the creation of Allah. Doesn't matter how much difficulty he is taking hold of. And I've seen this. I've seen this in my life. That when you serve the human beings, help them, assist them, join with them, give them benefit, most definitely, you stay so fresh. There's no one so fresh. There's no sickness connected to that person. He is healthy, alert, energetic. As long as Allah wants. That's it. And when you make a creation with Allah's human beings for the sake of Allah, and you hear their swear words, their mockery, and their jesting and joking against you, they're disrespectful to the extreme, they swear at you, at your shaykh, they say much bad to you, but the great habit of your shaykh rubs over to you, that you are patient and you ignore. That maybe this person will become good, he's swearing at me, no problem. Say subhanAllah. So this is the connection and relationship we must make with human beings if he's benefiting from you. I'm hopeful that today my discussion, the points we've discussed, you will pay attention. Where do we start from today? Let me summarize it. Can I summarize again? Just for a few minutes, can I summarize? Where do we start from? Where do we start from today? Let's see who's listened today. Where do we start our action today from? Have you forgotten? Today, from today in the night, you must assess yourself on the mattress before you go to sleep. That's where it starts today. Do you remember now? When you're going to sleep, sitting on your mattress, assess your day, how it's passed, 2-3 minutes, you must talk to yourself, you must speak to Allah, ask Allah for forgiveness, the method I've said to you, and from tomorrow, start the mujahadah, get hold of the sin, your weak point sins, and then ask yourself, how do I get rid of the sins? Because until you don't eliminate the sins, how will I see Allah? Then see, as I said to you, then you see, make the promise, then tomorrow, then your heart will give you, and your feelings, emotions will change for the better. And then the sins will be eradicated. May Allah Ta'ala give to all of us the ability to practice this. وَآخْرُ دَوَانَ أَنِي الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَسَعِدْ رُوشِ
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد النبي وزوجه أمهاته وذريته وأهله كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا قطيعا قطيعا قطيعا. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وذلنا وهزلنا وجدنا وخطأنا وعملنا كل ذلك عندنا. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم ثبتنا للإيمان وأمتنا للإيمان واشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان. اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. اللهم استعذنا بسنته ونفعنا بمحبته واشرنا في زمرته يا كريم يا كريم يا كريم. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك يا قاضي الحاجات اقض حاجاتنا يا دافع البلايات ادفع بلاياتنا يا شافي الأمراض اشفع مرادنا يا شافي الأمراض اشفع مرادنا يا شافي الأمراض اشفع مرادنا. اللهم اغفنا في بدني اللهم اغفنا في سمعي اللهم اغفنا في بصري لا إله إلا أنت. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. اللهم رب ارحمهم كما ربياني صغيرا. اللهم رب ارحمهم كما ربياني صغيرا. اللهم رب ارحمهم كما ربياني صغيرا. اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا وأستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. آمين.